that tune was Julianne Johnson, and the music that you're hearing is American old-time music. It's most closely associated with the Appalachian Mountains, of which we're here in Ohio, just one state north. West Virginia and Kentucky have a strong tradition of this music. It's the oldest indigenous secular music in the United States. It dates back at least to the 1700s, if not earlier. Many of the tunes we play can be traced to the British Isles, England, Ireland, Scotland, dating back 200 years, 300 years, and so on. And this is not bluegrass music, which is a modern form of music that evolved as part of the Nashville music industry in the 1940s. This is the music that is older than that, and that's why it's called old-time music. And so a lot of the tunes you may recognize, some of them have words. If you recognize the tune and we start singing, you can sing along. We're going to have a dancer join us too, doing flatfoot dancing, which is better known as clogging, and you'll see that right up here in a couple minutes. And so thank you all for coming. We should have been out in the sun, and instead we're in this lovely concert hall. So, we come from all over Northeast Ohio. I'll introduce the musicians a little later. The next tune is the Arkansas Traveler. Maybe you've heard this one before.
What key are we playing in?
What's that?
I'm sorry. What key are we playing in?
It's the same key.
This music is played in four different keys, D, G, A, and C. So we're going to play all the first set of tunes in the key of D, for those of you who are musicians. And
why do we do that, David?
No. We gotta play more music.
No.
Less talk and more rock.
Thank you.
probably recognize most of the instruments on the stage. The fiddles, of course, are the most important instrument in old-time music. And before... Well, I'll explain. There's a historical context for this.
True.
That's a main instrument that came over from the British Isles. For example, in Ireland and Scotland, it's still a main instrument. The other instruments are considered supporting instruments, playing the chords and so on. It's an older instrument. Well, you watch it. The banjo came later. It came from Africa. And it was only played by black Americans until the 1800s. In the 1700s, it was known as an African instrument played by slaves and free black people in the United States, and later became integrated with the fiddle. So this old-time music that we have here is a multicultural music. It was created by white and black musicians working together, and so it has elements of European and African music, even though the African music might not be immediately apparent. But you recognize the fiddles, the banjos, the guitars, the harmonica, but you might not recognize this one here and that one in the back. These are both called what? Does anybody know? They're both called dulcimers, right? Dulce meaning sweet in Latin, so they're sweet-sounding instruments. There's the skinny one that sits on your lap, that's the lap dulcimer, and there's the hammer dulcimer. You play with little hammers, and that's called a hammer dulcimer. So this is a very quiet instrument here, the lap dulcimer. It's often played as a solo instrument just in your home. It used to be played by ladies and also men. Just at home after work, you could play it on your lap. Well, I mean, ladies have more free time in the home in the old days, you know, back in the 1800s. And so let's hear what it sounds like. This is a four-string instrument, and it has a drone sound, almost like a bagpipe. Jim Francis of Cuyahoga Falls, and Tina Bergman of Brady Lake, which is just outside of Kent, is one of the top dulcimer players in Ohio and the nation. And Pete Seeger, who's just turned 90, he said she's his favorite dulcimer player. Could you show the instrument and how many strings it has? Just,
sure.
Does it come up? How many strings? She has to tune all 85 strings before she plays. It's like a mini piano without the keyboard.
I'm going to take John out. So it's very judicious. So some are bigger, some are smaller. This one's pretty good size. It's set up in keys. This my helper will show you. And see, it's two bridges. It's the opposite of the piano. So the bass notes are over here on the right. And then it gets higher as you go up and to the left. And it's set up in keys. Unlike a piano where you have to know which notes to choose to play a key, this is just set up very logically. Here's middle C, and they're in boxes. They're made out of bamboo and hardwood on the end, and my dad made this. This one's about 4 years old, and he's made my instrument since I was 12. So.
And who's this guy here?
And this is my son Theo, and this is my daughter Issa in the front.
Okay, we'll introduce the other instruments as we go through, and we'll bring up our dancer now. This is Sally Freeman of Streetsboro, Ohio, and she's going to demonstrate what's called flatfoot dance. This is the style of clog dancing from the Appalachian Mountains. It's found in West Virginia, Tennessee, North Carolina, and all the other mountain states. So, do you want to say anything about it? Or just do it. Okay, we're going to do Black Eyed Susie. The tune is called Black Eyed Susie, and what did you say about this tune?
It's considered to be one of the old-time tunes with the deepest African roots.
This is a African-American tune. This is coming from the black string band tradition. This is formerly a very vigorous tradition. Now it's kind of not too many groups doing that anymore. So let me get this down here for you. Thank you. this group that you're seeing here is not a band per se, but it's an assemblage of folks from Northeast Ohio, of which there are at least a few dozen, up to maybe a couple hundred, that are people who love old-time music, traditional American music. And this was not always the case. Back in the 1800s, before jazz and blues became the music of choice, and then later rock and roll, rhythm and blues, and all those, this was the only music there was other than religious music. This was dance music, barn dance music, square dance music. And so old-time music was found outside of the Appalachian Mountains in Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, Massachusetts, Florida, Georgia, Colorado, everywhere. And then by the early 20th century, when jazz and blues came out, this music somewhat died out. In the mid-1950s, about the 1950s, musicians in New York City started going down to the mountains and discovering this music. And one of those people was Pete Seeger. One of those people was Mike Seeger. And Mike Seeger is one of the most important musicians who dug out the old-time music and brought it to a nationwide audience of people who had forgotten about this music. And he died last night. Mike Seeger passed away last night. He was just short of his 76th birthday, and he had cancer for several years and just passed away. So we'll dedicate our set to Mike Seeger. And does anybody have a tune they want to do? We're still in the D. Angelina. This is called Angelina Baker, or Angelina the Baker. A lot of times we don't know much about why the tune is called that. They have some strange names, but this is about a lady who was a baker, I assume, in the old days.
Thank you.
anyone would like to try the dance, any age, you know, this is for all ages, and so come up and give it a try, and Sally will show you the steps. I think you already know. The
our bass player is Brian Thomas. Brian Thomas. He lives in Rainy Lake, and he's the husband of Tina Bergman, and they have a duo, Brian and Tina, and also have a quartet along with the fiddler Heather Malyuk. Okay, and that's called Hush Money. They have a CD coming out. We don't have one coming out because these are different musicians every time. We meet once a month in Kent, and there are other jams in other towns around Northeast Ohio, including Middlefield and Geauga County. There's one in Chardon. There's one in Wadsworth. But this is one of the oldest ones, the one that we do in Kent, and that's how we all met each other. These are musicians who drive from all over six different counties to get to Kent every month, and we decided to play for this from the invitation by Michael. So we'd like to thank him, Michael Dalby, who's the music librarian here. Brian teaches at Kent State, so he plays classical bass and can play with symphony orchestras and bass concertos and all kinds of things. So he's one of the best bass players around. For old-time music, many people in the old hollers back in the mountains couldn't afford a bass, so they would make a bass out of a big metal can. It's called a washtub bass. But Brian prefers the regular double bass. But how expensive is like a low-end double bass?
Cheapo.
Yeah, see, more than $1,000 for a low-end double bass. So that's why people in the mountains would choose to make their own bass, whereas a fiddle and a banjo and instruments like that are a lot cheaper. We'll do a couple more for you. Dance, are you getting tired? She's just getting warmed up over there. She can dance for hours. Okay, we'll do another tune.
Soldier's Joy.
This is called Soldier's Joy. This has a long history. The history behind this tune is so long, I'm not going to tell it to you. You have to get it after the concert. It's a long, long story.
Real fast, because we got a new answer.
Real fast?
Not real
fast. Okay. Thank you.
me to tell a story about someone I don't really know all that much about.
Talk about it. Talk about old-time music.
Talk about old-time music. Well, I started playing old-time music when I was 8 at Hale Farm in Homestead. They had a big music festival every year. And it was just an opportunity for local musicians to get together and play together, people from surrounding states to come and share music. At the time, Hale Farm was really gracious and allowing us all to come in with our instruments and feeding us and generally just taking care of us so we could spend a day making music together, which is what, to me, the old-time community was when I was growing up. It was a real community and really lovely. And I had no idea until I was older what a hotbed for old-time music Northeastern Ohio is and what wonderful and talented musicians we have here in this area as well. And Laura Lewis is a dancer and a musician from Chardon, Ohio, who was responsible for beginning this shindig. When was it?
97.
In 1997, as an opportunity for people who were from Appalachia to come together, hear the music, play the music, and feel that sense of community again. And now that I've grown up in that community and then gone out into the world and played this music and sort of come back, I can see just how lucky we are here to have this community and these people playing together, because it's not like this everywhere, and I think we're really lucky. So we'll play another tune and hope you enjoy it.
Sure.
We
can sing it too.
What are we playing?
I can
sing
before breakfast.
It's after lunch though.
What time?
It's noon somewhere.
Better late than never.
It's not a chore.
When you sing it, it's better than
one.
People
have a tune.
But I don't know if people are used to that. But I can sing on the second A and the first B.
Which you need for breakfast? You want to do A B or just A B?
Yeah. Okay. So I'll just sing on the second A and the first B. It's all right.
No, it's okay. Why'd you start?
Thank you.
banjo is something like a stringed drum, and it's found all the way back to ancient Egypt, the Middle Kingdom of ancient Egypt. It's like a drum covered with skin with a neck and strings on it. And this instrument comes from West Africa. It's still played there. It's called Ngoni, Halam, or Molo. It has different names, but it definitely, Akonting, that's one of the larger ones. So it found its way to the early Americas, where it was made out of a gourd and eventually made out of wood, and they used to use a groundhog skin. You'd go out in the woods and you'd kill yourself a groundhog, skin it, and put that on a banjo. Today it's a very fancy instrument. And players like Bela Fleck travel all over the world playing classical music on it and all kinds of things. There's a movie that just came out about the African roots of the banjo, and will be out of video in November by Bela Fleck. We've got two very fine banjo players here. Joel Specht of Kania, Ashtabula County. He came probably the farthest of anybody. And that's Joel Specht right there.
Yeah. And I'm here all day.
He plays in a band called the Erie Travelers. That's a quartet that plays often in Geauga County and environs. And this is John Truitt, who has just relocated from southern Arizona to Cleveland. And so he's our newest member, and he's a very fine banjo player as well. John Truitt. The most common style of banjo that you see in bluegrass uses picks on three fingers. You use little metal and plastic picks, and you pluck them like this, using each of the three fingers independently. The style that we use predominantly in old-time music, especially dance music of this type, is clawhammer. So you use your fingers as a kind of a unit, so you get more force from it. And maybe we can see one of you guys represent that. Whoever's more invisible. Yeah, give it a shot. This is clawhammer. Watch how his hand, all the fingers are right together, and they're not plucking independently.
Yeah, no.
Can't see it through me.
Just a brass plate, and it lets you slide, and that's closer to the African instrument, where you could get those bluesy inflections and sliding on the instrument. So it's much harder to play, of course, because the notes aren't marked, so you have to remember where they are, like on a violin. So you'll see the other instruments later. We'll get to playing some more music for you. If you have any requests, we'll entertain those. Otherwise, we'll go to the next tune. Hey, you got a tune? Favorite tune? We had a couple tunes from the last shindig that were must
do. I didn't see any in D.
You know, I think I probably forgot to write the D ones down.
And I can't read your writing. Are you a doctor or something?
Wow. Ooh, ouch.
Well.
You have a question?
Doctor.
That's a good one.
Oh, there's a question.
I am a man of constant sorrow.
Oh, well. This is more of a song. Most of the tunes that we do are dance tunes, and they might have words to them, but that one is specifically a song, and it might be more of a bluegrass song than an old-time song, and I don't think we know that. Maybe some of us might know.
There are also versions of that that are more like an air back from the mountains.
Right. Slow air. Yeah. That's another wing of old-time music is the sort of very slow songs. For example, the song O Death, which you hear in O Brother, Where Art Thou? And that's part of old-time music, too, but the music that we do in our jams that's easier to play as a group are the dance tunes, and they're almost all reels, some hornpipes, but mostly they're reels. The jigs got left behind in the British Isles. For some reason, the mountain people do not like jigs, but reels are fast tunes in a 2-4 or 4-4 meter. So, sorry we couldn't play that one for you, but we like that tune. I like Snake River. Okay, you start it. You start it.
Want to play that one?
Yeah. What's the tune?
Snake River Reel.
This is called Snake River Reel. It's a reel.
That's some little skinny guy.
Yeah.
There was a harmonica player back in the 40s and the 50s named D. Ford Bailey, who was the star of the Grand Ole Opry. He was the man that kept the Opry going when it wasn't doing very well. black fellow, and he was just the greatest harmonica player. He could do things that I can't even dream of doing. But he sort of got the harmonica into country music, and then people were playing old time just sort of butted in. The harmonica was not really ever an old time instrument because it wasn't introduced until it wasn't even invented until the 1840s.
But the cowboys played it a lot.
Yeah, some of them. So that's movies.
It's all real.
Yeah.
People in jail.
There were a lot of them.
People in jail played.
The harmonica was a very popular instrument in the poor areas of the country because they only cost a nickel to get. So that's kind of where they started out.
But there's a kind of a strong tradition of old-time harmonica here in Northeast Ohio. You're part of it.
Thanks to David Rice, yeah.
David Rice of, where is he, the Akron?
Yeah,
that's, David Rice is sort of the most notable old-time harmonica player. And when he goes down to the mountains, he wins competitions. For example, the Cliff Top Festival, which was just last week in West Virginia. He's won that more than once, I think. Okay, we'll play a tune called Fly Around My Pretty Little Miss.
That's unfortunate.
And this one has lyrics.